Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
William sent me a story, a bit of a mind bender, out of Seattle. From Q13 Fox, state investigates dozens of car dealerships for possibly violating stay-at-home order. The state is investigating dozens of car dealerships for possibly violating the governor's stay-at-home order in April, according to documents obtained by Q13 News and Simone Del Rosario. Now, you might say, Steve, April, that was a little while ago. What are they investigating exactly? Well, the argument is these dealerships may have sold too many cars, which is kind of like saying a race car went too fast. Most vehicle dealerships across the state have been collecting dust for the last few weeks to comply with the stay-at-home order, with some reporting its sales have dropped more than 90%. Now, dealerships were allowed to sell vehicles on a very limited basis during this time, but the Department of Licensing that oversees car dealerships confirmed it is looking into about 25 dealers where the number of title transfers raised red flags. Those dealerships processed more than 100 vehicle titles in a two-week period, a 15-day period. In a letter sent directly to the dealerships in question, the Department of Licensing wrote that after reviewing title applications, and this is the quote, "It appears your business is conducting business outside of the directives in Governor Inslee's Stay Home, Stay Healthy proclamation." Proclamation. At the bottom of the letter, the DOL noted that violators of the governor's proclamation may be subject to criminal penalties. The state has asked those dealerships to provide a list of every vehicle sold during those 2 weeks and justification for each sale, proving it met the criteria for doing business under the stay-at-home guidance lines, the guidelines. Dealers could only sell vehicles once the stay-home order went into effect if it met one of the following criteria. They could close a pending transaction that began before the order. They could replace a totaled vehicle or a damaged vehicle that is impractical to repair. They could extend an expired lease. Or they could sell a vehicle to an essential worker if that worker had no other means of transportation. So one of the interesting things about this is they say that they're asking the dealerships for a list of every vehicle. This is actually not that difficult thing for them to come up with, at least assuming they do it in Washington the way they do it in Michigan. In many states, they are very, very picky about how car dealers keep track of the vehicles on their lots for a very good reason, taxes. So if you walk into a car dealership and you're from the state of Michigan, if you do this in Michigan, you can walk into a car dealership and say, show me your police book. And the police book is the book that they'd open up, and in the book it shows every single car in that dealership's inventory at that moment in time. And it has to be accurate, because what happens is the moment a car is sold, you take it out of the police book and you pay the taxes on the sale. And so what would happen with dealerships that had financial issues or were running sketchy operations, they'd sell a vehicle and not forward the taxes because they just needed that money for something else. And then eventually they'd fall behind and couldn't pay their taxes. So dealerships will tell you that when the state drops in and asks to see your police book, it better be accurate. And by accurate, meaning every single car on the lot needs to be in it, and every single car in it needs to be on the lot. And the second a car gets sold, you need to remove it from the police book and indicate, well, it's not removed, but it's indicated the car got sold. And that money needs to be submitted to the state. So if Washington runs their businesses the same way that they run them here in Michigan, the number of cars sold in any given time frame is easy enough to figure out. But the question is, do you have one of these four exceptions as to why you sold these cars? And in this day and age, if somebody were to consult with me and say, hey, Steve, the state's telling us that we need to have one of these four excuses for any car that gets sold, what should we do? I'd say, okay, document it. So, you know, you find some kind of evidence that you know, and hang on to it, that you're closing a pending transaction, that you're replacing a totaled or damaged vehicle, that you're extending expired lease, or you're selling a vehicle to an essential worker. And that last one is obviously the one with all the wiggle room. And so someone comes in and says, look, I'm an essential worker. You could ask them what they do. And you might have them sign a statement saying, I have no other transportation. That would do it. A Department of Licensing spokesperson told Q13 News that some dealerships returned the requested information within 3 days and said the agency is encouraged by the response but is still waiting documentation from other dealers. Now, dealers have 45 days to process title transactions, so it's possible that some of the sales were made before the stay-at-home order went into effect. That's why the DOL said it's just seeking information at this point related to these transactions. If they really let these guys hang on to money for 45 days, they're doing it wrong. And I know the dealerships are going to hate me for saying that, but you know, if you take money from a buyer, that's taxes. You should have no trouble remitting those taxes to the state immediately. It's not your money. And if you actually want to sit on it for 45 days, and I don't know if that's what they're saying here. They say to process the titles, but what about the payment of the taxes? So that's the bigger issue. However, if dealerships are found guilty of violating the proclamation, DOL has the authority to suspend or revoke business licenses or pursue a criminal penalty, which would be a gross misdemeanor, punishable by up to 364 days in county jail and a $5,000 fine. If the Attorney General's office decided to pursue violations of the law, a court could impose a $2,000 fine for each violation. And you might notice that unusual number there, 364 days. And there is that number for a reason. And I get asked this question a lot. People say, Steve, what's the difference between a misdemeanor and a felony? What's the difference between a civil infraction and a misdemeanor? Someday I'll do a whole video on it. But that question encompasses a couple of different things. There's different ways of looking at it. And one of the ways of looking at it is that they have classified crimes, right? So first-degree murder is at one end of the scale. And I don't know, jaywalking is at the other, right? And these are all things that our society has said is bad. It's quite a spectrum, my friends. So obviously, things that happen down here, you just might get a fine for, pay some money, okay? Civil infractions. At this end, you can go to prison for life, or in some states, you can be executed. Capital punishment. So there's obviously a range of these things that can happen to you. And so we all know that it's basically civil infractions at one end, felonies at the other, capital felonies at the other. And then in the middle is a thing called a misdemeanor. And a misdemeanor is somewhere in the middle. And so you can look at it and say, well, we've just decided as a society that the really serious stuff is felonies, the kind of serious stuff is misdemeanors, and the less than serious stuff is the civil infractions, or whatever you call them in your state. But one of the ways that we draw the distinction is the punishment. So capital offenses are done at that end. You do not get executed for jaywalking, at least not at this moment in time. But that end, yeah. First-degree murder might be capital punishment in your state. Not in Michigan. Michigan was one of the first states, if not the first state, to abolish capital punishment. A long time ago, before I was an attorney. Before I was born. And then in the middle, misdemeanors. Now here's the thing. The way we define this is often how much time you can be incarcerated for. That is, how long can they lock you up, okay? So some states will say if they can lock you up for more than 91 days, saying in essence, or 93 days, 3 months. So if it's 3 months or less, it's a misdemeanor. If it's more than 3 months, it's a felony. Or I'm guessing that they might have the division in Washington at a year. So a gross misdemeanor would be up to 364 days because 365 would become a year. So I'm guessing on that. I'm guessing on that. But that's a distinction you often see. And it's like I said, it's not the same from state to state. And it's just one way of looking at it. But there are often crimes that overlap. Some kinds of drunk driving might be a misdemeanor. Some kinds might be a felony. Depends on whether it's your second offense or your third offense, or whether there's aggravating circumstances. Did somebody get killed? That kind of thing. So I'm suspecting that the 364 days in a county jail here is considered to be less than a year and more than a year. By the way, probably wouldn't be a county jail. It'd probably be a prison. That's where we put the long-term storage. So that's a situation, like I said, in Washington. Q13 News reported it, and Simone Del Rosario wrote it. William sent it to me. But the state is investigating dozens of car dealerships for possibly selling too many cars. Selling too many cars. Who'd have thunk it? Questions, comments, put them below. Let's talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. You can't play the game you wish you had. You can only play the game you have in front of you.